can pour out from our hearts that you've filled up. Even the ability to worship you comes from you. And it's, as I read this week, it's not arrogant that somehow you would expect us to worship, because you're the one true thing. We're thankful that you've put in our hearts the desire to worship. You begin to build that desire in us, and we pour out our praise, and we understand that circumstances sometimes in our lives bring to us heartache and difficulty. But the fact is that you're unchanging. And in the middle of those, you are God, and you are good. So we worship you today. We're thankful for the invitation you've given to each of us. Some of us have said yes to the invitation, perhaps some still waiting to say yes, but you've invited us all. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and we celebrate that today. We're thankful for your call on our own lives, the privilege to know you, to be called your children. We don't want to ever take it for granted. We're thankful. Help us this morning that you'd speak to all of us, not just the children, but you'd speak to all of us and tell us what you need us to know, what you want us to understand, what you want us to feel this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, kids, you're not going out today, but if you want to, you can come up here, and actually I'd prefer you to come up here and sit on these benches and sit in this front row so I can talk to you. Now, come on. If you don't, I'm going to be really foolish sitting here looking at these empty benches. Now, I confessed to those in the prayer room today. You can sit on the front row, too, if there's not room on the benches. I confess to Ava, you want to sit right there? With, yeah, there you go. There, good. With the big girls. I confess to the adults in the prayer room today that I'm not really good at this. Okay, speaking to kids. I was more nervous this week knowing that I was going to have to talk to you guys than I am any week when I'm talking to the adults. Because for one thing, you guys are way smarter than them. And you'll figure out, you know, stuff that they don't figure out. Now listen, there are times when I talk to you today that I might tell a joke and you might not get it. It might go over your head. That's okay, because most of them don't get my jokes either. Okay? All right? So keep that in mind. So, Jesus told a story. He told a parable. And the parable is what Jesus did a lot. And he was telling stories to try to illustrate a point. So what are some of the parables? What are some of the stories that Jesus told? Do you know any? Do you know any stories that Jesus told? Okay. You know some? Do you want to tell me, or you just want to say that you know them? Okay, good. She knows them. That's good. I have this little animal. What do you think that is? It's a lamb. Kind of looks like a bunny. It's not a very good representation of a lamb. If I would have thought ahead of time a few weeks back, I could have had Dave actually bring a real lamb, perhaps. But there's a danger in bringing real lambs, and we can talk to you about that later. Ron would have his work cut out for him if he bought a real lamb, right? So, I'm going to read a part of a Bible story out of Matthew chapter 18. This is Jesus talking. You know, Jesus is talking in this chapter, and he says this to the adults. Okay, he says this to the adults. He said, "Don't ever offend one of these little children." What does that mean, to offend a little child?
That means never be mean.
Give them away to somebody else? Okay. Good. Anybody else? What does it mean to offend? Like if an adult was going to offend you, what would it mean?
They protect you?
No, or they don't protect you, yeah, if they're offending you, yeah. Okay, they don't care about you. Right, exactly. And in that context, or in that passage of Scripture, Jesus really is talking about in relationship to people knowing Him, to children knowing Him. And here's one thing I want you to get before we start, before I read this Scripture, is that many times in the Bible, in the New Testament, which is where the stories about Jesus are, Jesus talks about children, and He loves children. And I can't stress it enough. Jesus loves children. Now, we used to sing, when I was a kid, we used to sing a song called Jesus Loves Me. Do you sing that song anymore? Probably not. I don't know if we sing that song. You do? Okay, you sing it? Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? Well, I just wanted you guys to know that Jesus loves you, and He said, let the kids come to Me. Let the children come to Me. Can you imagine that? Jesus is sitting here on this stage, and He said, hey, come here. I want to give you a hug. I want to talk to you. That Jesus cares about you guys. I want you to know that more than anything else, okay? So, here's what He said in that passage when He's talking about don't offend the little children. He said this. Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 sheep and go into the wilderness and search for the one that's lost? Yes. And he'll search for it until he finds it. And when he has found it, he will, with joy and happiness, carry it back to join the other 99. And then he says he'll call his friends and his neighbors, and he'll say, rejoice, be happy with me, let's celebrate with me, because I found my lost sheep. In the same way, he said, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who haven't strayed away. Now, I have a lamb here. Looks like a bunny, kind of, right? Now, it has a pink bow, so I would think it's a girl, right? But let's call this sheep Sam, because Sam could be a boy's name or a girl's name, because I want you both to understand that this lamb could be you. It could represent you. And Sam wandered away. He's a sheep. He's a lamb with 100 other sheep. And the shepherd is taking care of them, but Sam wanders away. And he gets separated completely from the other sheep. And when he gets separated from the other sheep, Sam starts to make maybe some bad choices. The Bible calls those bad choices sin. And Sam starts to make some bad choices. What kind of bad choices could Sam be making? Okay. What else? What other choices? Killing people. There you go. That's a bad one. That's a bad one. I mean, this is a vicious sheep, right? I mean, it doesn't look like he could do that, but you know what? Here, that's a good point, though. You know, the Bible says that if we hate someone, that's as bad as killing him. That's what Jesus said, right? That's pretty bad. So he could be hating people or not liking people. What else? What else could he be doing? All right, hurting people, stepping on people. Okay, all right, hurt them, yeah. Stealing, okay. He could be destroying people's property. Lying, right? How about disobeying his parents? Well, you're right, he's lost, isn't he? Yeah. But, I mean, he could be doing all those things, right? And that's part of the reason he begins to do those things is because he's separated from the other sheep. And he gets further and further away, and it seems like, for Sam, it seems like it's getting darker and darker, like a storm, like it does when there's a storm. And Sam is farther and further away and becomes separated from the sheep, and he can't hear the shepherd anymore. He can't hear the voice of the shepherd. He can't see the other sheep. He can't hear the other sheep. And he remembers when he could see them and we could hear them. It was so great. He was lost. He was lost. Now, have you guys ever been lost? Have you ever been in a store and you got separated from your parents? How did that feel? You didn't like it. Yeah. Did you too? You hated it? Yeah. Your parents need to be a little more attentive to you, apparently. And this was two kids here from the same family. I don't know. And Odin's hiding in the other aisle. This will teach him a lesson. So, and you know what? The Bible describes people who don't know Jesus as lost. It's not a very good feeling, is it? People that don't know Jesus are lost. And they're all alone. It didn't seem too bad during the day, but it was at night. Think about how bad it would be to be alone at night. I mean, already we don't like at night, right? And then we're alone at night. That's even worse. And there was danger. So if a sheep is out by itself all alone, what kind of danger might a sheep face? Wolves. Tigers. Lions. Anybody with bears? Anybody with bears? What's that?
Cars.
Yeah, cars. Could it hit my car? Trucks. Trucks and cars, both, yeah. All right, but there's lots of danger, right? Lots of danger, yeah.
Some trucks,
yeah, could hit him.
A bear?
Yep, in Jordan, North Georgia, yeah, for sure. Uh-huh, yeah, exactly. I mean, coyotes, even, you know? You never know where you're going to see one of those. I mean, they're all around us, right? So anyway, there's lots of danger, right? Because he's all alone. He doesn't have a shepherd to protect him. And Sam starts thinking in his mind, this little Sam sheep starts thinking in his mind how great it would be if he could just be with the other sheep again. If he could be with the shepherd again. If he could hear the shepherd's voice. He just thinks that would be so awesome if he could just hear the shepherd's voice. And about the same time that he starts thinking that, the shepherd comes to look for him. And this is just how it works for us. When the same time when we begin to realize that we are separated, that maybe we're lost and we can't find our way back, at the same time the shepherd comes looking. And Sam remembers, oh man, I just wish I could be with the shepherd again, because the shepherd loves me so much. The shepherd cares about me so much. The shepherd's voice is so great. I just love the shepherd's voice. It makes me feel so comfortable and safe and secure. And then he thinks about the other sheep. And at the same time, as I said, the shepherd goes out looking. And you know, the Bible actually tells us that the shepherd is actually sent by his dad. The shepherd is sent by his dad to come looking for the lost sheep. Can you imagine? So, everyone cares about the lost sheep, right? The father and the son. The father and the shepherd. They come looking for the lost sheep. He's sent up by his dad and he comes to rescue. He comes to rescue. You know, I remember when you're real little, maybe even now, you have this idea that maybe you'd like to be a fireman or you'd like to be a policeman or you'd like to be something where you could rescue other people, right? Well, that's what Jesus does. That's what the shepherd does. He rescues us. He cares about us. And he came to bring all the other sheep, all the lost sheep, back into the safe place with all the other sheep into the pasture. It's a pretty amazing thing. Were you going to say something? Okay. Yeah. So he wants all the sheep to be with him. In Matthew chapter 19, it says that Jesus came to search for and to rescue everyone who was lost. And so remember, Sam's wanting to go back, and the shepherd's out looking for him, and then Sam hears something off in the distance. He maybe hears something he recognizes. He hears this voice, and he's thinking, oh, I think that's the shepherd. I think that's the shepherd. I think the shepherd's calling my name. He's saying, Sam! Sam! And he's thinking, oh, I just hope that's the shepherd. But Sam tries his best to call out, but he's so weak, he's so afraid, he's so scared that all he can do is just say, I'm over here. He can't really even speak loudly. But he says, yes, I want to be rescued. Come rescue me. Come find me. And so finally, the shepherd finds Sam. And Sam, maybe he's got thorns in his, yeah. We're going to find out here. I'm going to tell you in a second, okay? So Sam's maybe got thorns in his feet. I don't know what they're called. His feet. They're paws. Is that right, Dave? Are they paws? They're hooves. Okay, so he doesn't have thorns in his hooves, but in the lower part of his legs, let's say, okay? His hooves are too strong for thorns. But maybe he's got cuts on him. Maybe he's been injured in some way. Maybe he's got a broken leg. And you know what the shepherd does? The shepherd comes and he says, "Hey, Sam, I'm going to carry you back home. I'm going to lift you up and carry you." Remember, we read the Bible story about the shepherd. He finds the sheep. He says he carries it. He brings it into his arms and he carries it. And maybe he helps fix the wounds, or he takes the thorns out, or he caresses the sheep. He talks to it calmly. He's really nice. Picks him up and holds him close. Now, I've got a couple questions, and we're going to answer your question, okay? He carries him back with all the rest of the sheep, and he finds his neighbors, and he says, "Hey, look, I found Sam. This is incredible. I found Sam, and I brought him back here to live with us. Isn't that incredible?" And everyone's celebrating. It's a big party. So, who are the sheep? Okay, so Sam is one of the sheep, but there's 99 other sheep. Who in the story, who are the sheep? Us. All of us. We're all the sheep. And at one time in our lives, we were lost, right? And maybe we're still lost. But the shepherd is out looking for us. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. If we're lost, the shepherd is always looking for us. If we're lost. Okay, so the shepherd, or the sheep, is us. The Bible says that actually many times it compares us to sheep. It says we're sheep. He said, and we're like sheep that have wandered away. That's what the Bible says about all of us. About all of us. Sheep can't save themselves. They have to have a shepherd to take care of them. And so the next question is, who's the shepherd? Who's the shepherd? Well, yeah, that's great. It's Jesus. Exactly. It's Jesus. But on this, right now, when your children live in your parents' house, it's great to think of your dad as a shepherd, because he's going to bring you Jesus, right? Okay, so the shepherd is Jesus. In fact, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. The good shepherd. What would make Jesus good? Why would he call himself the good shepherd? Oh, because sometimes your parents don't look for you, but Jesus always does. That's good. That's good. I'm afraid we're going to have to do some counseling here. So, okay. Odeon's thinking, why do we come today? Okay, but why else would Jesus be called good? Because he's God's son, exactly. Okay? Because he doesn't sin, right? Exactly. Okay, why else? He always saves us, exactly. Okay? Why else? Yeah. He's always there for us even if we're scared. That's good. Does he love us, Jesus? He's always after us, right? He's always coming to rescue us, okay? So, now back to your question. If Jesus is the shepherd, who's the dad? God. Yeah, God the Father. And he sent Jesus to find us, to rescue us. That's a pretty amazing story. And Sam is finally reunited with his friends, with his family, and with the shepherd. And we could say, and Sam and Jesus lived happily ever after, right? Because that's how all good stories end. Always, yeah. So, it's good. That's a good one. Sam learned a lesson. Don't get lost again, right? Don't walk away, right? Good. Okay? Yeah. Who's the mom? Well, in this story we don't have a mom. There's a mom, but you can talk to your mom about that, okay? Because in this story it doesn't say there's a mom, but you know, there could be a mom. And this is exactly why this is not really my thing, okay? Okay, so because there's questions they ask that you can't answer. And then you just say, ask your parents when they get home. Okay, so here's the thing. This morning, we're going to do something really special, okay? That one of the ways that we tell the world and the everyone around us, our friends and our family, one of the ways that we tell them that Jesus came looking for us and they found us and that we said, yes, I want to be saved. Jesus, could you save me? Is baptism. Okay? So baptism is one of those things that we do to tell the world that Jesus saved us, that he found us and he saved us. Okay? And this morning, Jackson Fox is going to get baptized. Isn't that exciting? Because Jackson, a few weeks ago, asked Jesus to save him. Okay? Now, yesterday I talked to Jackson and I asked him some questions and he answered the questions really good yesterday. So we'll see this morning if he can answer those questions. So, Jackson, come up here with me. Do we have let's have a microphone because I want everyone to hear Jackson. Sorry, I wasn't planning on this. Here, Jackson. So, Jackson, can you hold the microphone? I know this is going to be not really in your comfort zone. Okay. Jackson's not really comfortable, okay, being in front of people like this, but I think he's going to do great. Okay, Jackson, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you trusted in Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead?
Yes.
Okay. You know, the Bible says that if we confess with our mouth, which you just did, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved, okay? Now, another question. Have you turned away from your sins? And have you decided to follow Jesus forever?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. All right. You can go get... Go ahead over here. All right, Jackson. So, do we have a... Sorry, you got to plug your own nose. Sometimes we have a washcloth here to put over your face. I don't want to feel like I'm choking you, so I'm gonna get you all the way back under the water, okay? All right? So you can plug your nose if you want to. If you don't go clear under, I'm going to just keep pushing, okay? And here's the thing. When you're down, I'm only going to pray a short prayer, okay? So try not to struggle, all right? Jackson, based on your profession of faith, which you made just over there in front of all of us, I'm going to baptize you now in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, here's the thing. You guys can sit right here for a second because I'm going to talk to your parents and your grandparents, okay? And then we're going to be done. It's like the shortest Sunday in the history of Sundays here at the Crossing, all right? Christian, don't do that. Christian went, yes. Oh, hey, I know why. I know why. He and Ryan are going to the Braves game today, so you need to get on the road, don't you? Yeah. Okay, so here's the thing, parents and grandparents. I talked to Matt and Heather about this yesterday, and I said, you know, I said, in my opinion, the natural thing for kids of Christian parents is that they come to know Christ at an early age. That's the natural thing. Doesn't always happen, but that's the natural thing. That's the way God intended it. And here's the reason why it happens. It happens because parents are living out the gospel and they're committed to the kingdom of God. So when kids see their parents who are committed to the kingdom of God and are living out the gospel in their lives, it becomes a natural thing for them to ask questions. And then those questions many times lead to prayers beside a bed or prayers at the dinner table or prayers beside the toilet, in the bathroom. I mean, listen, it doesn't really matter. And parents will assess their kids whether or not they're ready. And so this week, as I was preparing for this Sunday, I was reading an article talking about talking to your kids about baptism. And one of the things that's said in there in the talking to kids about baptism is that in the context of talking to your kids about baptism, you need to share your own faith story. I'm thinking, that's important. Our kids need to hear our faith story. They need to know, right? And if we don't have a faith story to tell, then it's not likely our kids are going to ask any questions about what it means to be saved. And if they do ask someone, they're not going to ask us, because they'll realize we don't have the answers. I'm just saying, and this is for parents and grandparents, right? My parenting duties are almost completely done, except for now occasionally giving unwanted advice. But I've got grandkids, you know? My grandparenting duties are just starting. So part of my responsibility, along with their parents, is to provide them enough proof in my life that would cause them to even care about asking a question about what it means to know Jesus. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to give your heart to Jesus? What does it mean to invest your life in the kingdom? Now, whether or not they ever articulate those questions in exactly the same way, that's the questions they're asking. And we're going to answer those far better. We're going to answer those far better by what we do than by what we say. Right? So you can tell your kids all you want about how great you are, how much you're invested in the kingdom of God, but if they don't see any activity in your life that reflects that investment, then it's not likely they're going to believe what you say. Okay? Parents and grandparents, you're going to have a story to tell. Is your home a gospel-centered home? Is your home a Jesus-centered home? So, kids, how was that? Was that boring? Was it okay? Kind of. Awesome. I like this guy. I never get applause. You adults never applaud me. Listen, I'm glad you guys listened. You guys paid attention, and you seem like you're kind of focused in, so I appreciate that. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to be done, okay? Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the celebration of this day. We're thankful for Jackson and the decision that he's made to follow you and the fact that salvation has come into his life through you, Jesus, and we're thankful for that. He's given his heart to you, and I just pray that you'd help us as parents, as grandparents, as church family, as friends, that we would help him walk with you. This is our job, to help him walk with you. Father, we're thankful that you put your Spirit in him, as your word says, and I pray that that Spirit would work in his life and begin to grow him up in the faith that he's professed today. We're thankful for the opportunity, but we're also aware of the responsibility that you've placed on us to be the kind of parents and the kind of grandparents and the kind of friends and the kind of influences that will bring people into an understanding of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow you with our whole heart. And I just pray that you'd help us in the days ahead, that we would take that responsibility, that we would wear it, that we would live in it, that we would take it seriously, that we'd do all that we can to lead these dear children into the way of Christ. Help us never to offend them. Help us to always do our best to lead them in the right way. Father, give us a great week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Oh, hey, wait, one more announcement. Where's Haley? Is she out? She's out. Okay. Well, we have a new visitor here. So congratulate TJ and Haley. They're here. Haley's here for the first time with, what's the introduction? You're going to call him IJ? It's Isaac James, right? Isaac. So we're just going to call him IJ. That's common. Yeah. Okay. All right. You guys are dismissed.